Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Eagles have landed. That will be the crickets and the mayonnaise for one Mike Golic Jr. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And coming up a little bit later in the 6 o'clock hour, we're actually going to have Mike Golic Jr. on air consume the crickets covered in mayonnaise in order to pay off the bet that he lost with the Philadelphia Eagles getting 8.5 points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gojo, I told you before Super Wild Card weekend that I had no reservations about laying the 8.5 points with the Bucs and Tom Brady, and yet you thought it was a good idea. You thought it was a good idea to go with the Philadelphia Eagles starting a quarterback that was making his playoff debut. I still don't understand it. I don't understand you dipping the Oreo in the mayonnaise at the Duke Mayo Bowl, but then making the bet that you could have to eat crickets covered in mayonnaise makes even less sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, when you say it all out and lay it all out like that, it seems pretty dumb. But you know what? Listen, I'm not always the smartest guy here, and so that's why I had to run to a PetSmart today and get I know we don't give them freebies on radio, but hell, I don't know how competitive the market is for freeze-dried crickets. So Fluker's freeze-dried crickets for reptiles, birds, and tropical fish. Like, they put a lizard on this damn package to make good and damn well I know this is not for people.
Well, yeah,
they try to, but it is gut-loaded with calcium, which is nice.
Well, I guess there is that added benefit of it, but I don't know if I'm willing to go to those lengths just to get some extra calcium in my diet. But speaking of things that are pretty dumb, it is the day that we're going to do top five, bottom five. We usually reserve that for Tuesdays, but because we had the holiday on Monday, this feels more like a Tuesday show. So you did the top five earlier on in the show, and now it's time to go to the gutter with me and my bottom five from Super Wild Card Weekend. So let's get to it.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Number 5.
All right, Gojo. Number 5 belongs to Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Jalen Reagor. Now, Jalen Reagor, for those of you that aren't familiar, was the first round pick for the Eagles in 2020. And in this wild card game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he had 3 targets, 1 catch for 2 yards, 2 fumbles, 1 loss, including a muff punt. Now, that's not exactly the contribution that you would expect a first-round receiver in his second year in the NFL to have on your team's overall success, but that's what Jalen Reagor was bringing to the party. I'm sure that's probably what prompted Howie Roseman and the Eagles brass to go out and spend another first-round pick on Devonta Smith, a wide receiver that they felt pretty good about because they knew that they had a bust in Jalen Reagor. But him coming out and fumbling that punt in that game, that just laid the groundwork for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to run away with it because it was already 17-0 at halftime. The Eagles defense came out and got a stop. And then when you force the punt, your punt returner decides to give the ball to Tom Brady at midfield. And Gojo, you know what happens next.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Jalen Reagor right now because he is partially the reason at that critical juncture that I'm sitting here with the smell of dried cricket starting to creep up into my nose during this segment here. Not great, Bob. Not great.
Not great, but keeping it moving. Let's go to number 4.
Number 4.
Cliff Kingsbury. Yes, that Cliff Kingsbury. We know that his team collapsed in the second half of this season, only coming up with 2 wins in their last 8 games. But what we saw on Monday in the wild card game against the Rams was completely inexcusable. Raheem Morris took Cliff Kingsbury to school. With the X's and O's, he schemed it up well, played a lot of single high coverages in the first half, that being cover 3 in some man free. Kyler Murray didn't know where to go with the ball, took away his first and second read. That allowed that defensive front from the Rams to get after Kyler Murray. Again, when your quarterback is averaging over 3 seconds from snap to throw, that's not a good thing, Bob. Not a good thing. And as a result, you know what we saw from that team the rest of the game. You were only able to muster 183 yards of total offense in a playoff game? Come on, Cliff Kingsbury. We need for you to be better. There was one point in this game, Gojo, where Odell Beckham Jr. had more passing yards than Kyler Murray. It actually happened in the third quarter. Odell Beckham Jr. had more passing yards than Kyler Murray. It's crazy.
It is. We talk about the lack of preparation that we saw from the Dallas Cowboys. That was only outdone by the Arizona Cardinals. You're right. The star quarterback, who's going to get the payday? Kyler Murray is rightly going to get paid for the Cardinals, maybe even as soon as this offseason. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to walk in next year like he did this year with his name being in those hot seat conversations, because you fool me once, shame on you. But fool me every season where we've watched college and pro, his team sputter down the back half. You got to start to ask long-term questions in the way that they will.
Kenny and Golden Jr., top five, bottom five. Let's keep it moving with my bottom, number three from Super Wild Card Weekend, the Patriots defense. Gojo, the Patriots defense was awful. And I'm saying awful like this Charles Barkley awful. Like Charles Barkley on the golf course, that kind of awful. That's how bad it was with the Patriots defense. They allowed the Buffalo Bills offense to score touchdowns on seven straight possessions. Count them, seven. The only time the Patriots defense got a stop against the Bills was when they were kicking extra points. They happened to block two extra points, one in the first half and one in the second half. That was it. And here's the crazy part. Here's the kicker for me. It's not like you didn't know what was coming. Josh Allen was going to use his legs. He was going to be a runner. You saw it in the last regular season game y'all played. Josh Allen had over 50 yards rushing. What did you think he was going to do this time? It happened again. Josh Allen throwing for over 300 yards. Josh Allen rushing for over 50 yards. Bill Belichick's defense had no answer for it. Completely embarrassing performance for the Patriots.
Terrible. It was terrifying here. Terrible, as Charles would say. And you're right. There is no worse feeling in football, Chris. We always talk about it. Than being a man moved from point A to point B against your will. That seemed to be the entire Patriots defense against Josh Allen.
All right, keeping it moving. Number two.
Number two.
Gojo, this honor goes to Jerome Bossier and his officiating crew. And I listen, I'm not Dak Prescott. I don't like being overly critical of the officials. But Jerome Bossier and his crew left me no choice. They left me no choice. It happened late in the second quarter with the Cincinnati Bengals having the ball on the 10-yard line, low red zone, against that Raiders defense. You're talking about a one-possession game at that point. And what happened was Joe Burrow, rolling out of the pocket, ended up getting close to the sideline, heard a whistle. The defenders from the Las Vegas Raiders heard a whistle, and so they stopped playing. Joe Burrow makes a toss to the end zone, ends up being a completion for a touchdown, and Casey Hayward was left to ask the officials, especially the side judge, exactly what happened because they heard a whistle. The officials huddled up. They called it a touchdown. It wasn't a reviewable play. Obviously it's a score because it was a reviewable play, but it wasn't a play that they could ultimately challenge because the whistle was ruled not to have been affecting the play that was involved. So it sounded crazy, the explanation, but you know that the officials were in error when the NFL steps out in front and says, yeah, that crew is no longer going to be working any postseason games this year. So Jerome Bossier, not your finest moment. I mean, he's always been a good ref when I was playing in games and he was officiating, but that was not his finest moment on Saturday evening.
Nope, and it's one of those situations I've seen plenty of people point out here. Spencer Hall, who's one of my favorite college football writers, the sheer volume of rules that officials are responsible for might be too much for human beings, certainly part-time human beings, but at the same time, if we are going to be critical of Dak Prescott and a number of players for how they performed in a very pivotal situation that involved very specific instances of end-game clock management, and we are critical of players constantly, officials are going to be held to that same standard. They're a third of the game that we don't often talk about, but when it happens like this, it's like being an O-lineman. Once your name gets called, you know it's probably because you did something bad here. Consequences have to come with that, and they did in this situation.
All right, here we go. Taking the cake, Gojo. Number one on my list.
Number one.
You guessed it, sports fans. It's the Dallas Cowboys quarterback sneak. Now, I don't know if it was Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, or Dak Prescott, but all involved have to wear this one. This goes down in Hall of Shame. This is right up there with Joe Judge on 3rd and 9 calling a quarterback sneak from his own 5-yard line. Like, this is along those lines. You're talking about an opportunity to try to tie the game up in a playoff game. End of game execution is going to be absolutely critical. And yet the Dallas Cowboys came up short. And I could understand them coming up short and panicking if you had a running clock, but you didn't have a running clock because the 49ers call timeout. They call timeout, 14 seconds left. This is when you got to come up with your two best plays, one to be able to gain some yards and get out of bounds, or at least gain some yards and be able to clock the play 14 seconds is a really tight window. You're right on that fringe of being able to run two plays versus one play. And the fact that they went with a quarterback sneak and then Dak Prescott didn't hand the ball to the official and then after the game has the gall to criticize the officials, that's the part that doesn't sit well with me. And so all of them got to wear this one. Absolutely ridiculous. It is the worst thing I saw in Super Wild Card Weekend.
Shout out to Mike McCarthy for coming out after the fact today and still saying it was the right call in that spot. When you're going through hell, you got to keep on moving. And that apparently is the Cowboys' approach to this particular problem. That is Chris Canty's bottom five from Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll obviously keep you covered on this all throughout the NFL postseason. And if it's anything like the opening stanza, boy, oh boy, is it giving of some of these moments here. We want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, which player, team, coach, whoever has the most to gain from the upcoming 2022 postseason that keeps moving this weekend? That's next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on Twitter at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. We've been talking about who has the most to gain from this 2022 postseason, what coach, what player. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Mike, let's go out to the calls, and let's get to James in Dayton. James, you're on Canty and Golic Jr.
So quickly, I just want to say to Mike Golic Jr., I'm listened to your father for many years. I'm very happy and proud of you that you're on the airs and doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 10 minutes from me eating a cricket on air feels like an appropriate time to bring up my father.
All right. So, yeah. Okay, that's awesome. So, Chris Canty, here's what I'll tell you about your comment. I love you as well. But that whistle blew when the ball was about 8 yards away from the receiver. And there's zero chance. And I admit and I agree that it was a bad call. Like it should have been overturned. There's no question that's not a touchdown by the rules. But that defensive back had no chance of interfering. He did not slow down. Legitimately, the way it played out was the right way to play out.
Well, James, here's the thing. I'm not debating whether or not that was the right call to let it stand or whether to stop the play. I'm just saying how egregious it was from the officials that were in that game. And the NFL took the appropriate response in saying that they weren't going to be rewarded, that particular crew, and have the opportunity to officiate any other postseason games. Because the last thing you want for players competing in a postseason game, knowing that there is no tomorrow, is for them to have a little bit of hesitancy once they hear the whistle. And that's the part that doesn't sit well with me. We're all taught to play through the whistle. And then once you hear the whistle, you got to shut things down. And the fact that they had that inadvertent whistle in the middle of a play is just inexplicable. It's inexcusable. And so I think the NFL took the appropriate action. I'm not saying the outcome of the game would have changed. All I'm saying is that's a bad look for Jerome Bojer and his crew.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the outcome of the game, the outcome of that play is exactly what it should have been. The whistle should not have been blown in that spot. Joe Burrow and the Bengals should have been allowed to score that touchdown the way that they did. But the problem is, like anything else, coulda, shoulda, woulda, you can throw all those at me you want in the body of a play. If a mistake is made, there are consequences. And once you blow that whistle, that thing's got to be dead. That is the way the rules work on this. It would have robbed the Bengals of a play that would have been deservedly theirs, but we have officials, which is a human element to the game, and if you blow that whistle in that spot, it's got to be dead, and that's the reason. Those officials are graded all year long. The ones that make it to the postseason are supposed to be the best and the brightest, and if you fall flat in that spot here, teams that lose get sent home, and for that officiating crew, that was the cash equivalent for them.
No doubt about it. I completely agree with you. Let's shoot out to Jay in Missouri. Jay, you're on Canty and Golic Jr.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, I wanted to hit you guys up on one on your topic. Hey, Tom Brady's got the most to win because he wins all the time. But Do the Cowboys have a chance with Dak? Is Dak good enough to keep the Cowboys competitive going forward? I mean, there's no alternative. They're married to him at this point, but is he ever going to be able to get them forward?
Jay, I think the answer to your question is absolutely. Now, Chris, the one thing I want to bring back up, you and I were talking about this before the show. Dak looks such a step slower this year. He wasn't, you know, a guy I would consider a true dual threat and that you're going to use him as a primary runner all the time. He's not Josh Allen in that way, but he was always mobile enough, more towards the Mahomes model. And between the ankle injury from last year and then the calf injury from this year, I think you really saw that slow his game to where if we get back to him being more of that, more fluid as a mover next year, coupled with better play calling on offense, I think you're going to be right back to where we've been used to being with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. And if you look at what that offense was after Dak had that calf injury, it wasn't nearly as explosive as it was in the first six or so odd games. So I would say that you're right. Once we have Dak a little further removed from that ankle surgery and having a chance to heal up this offseason, I would be interested to see what this Cowboys offense is going to look like with him adding that extra dimension of being able to extend the plays, second reaction, get out on the perimeter of defenses and challenge them and stress them in that way. So, yeah, I think that Dak Prescott is absolutely a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with. And Jerry Jones and Will McClay absolutely agree because they paid that guy $40 million a year. That's why you pay him, to be able to win at the highest levels of the sport. So, I mean, there's no question in my mind, but I know that's going to be a question that's raised as we move throughout the offseason, whether or not the Cowboys actually have a window with Dak Prescott making as much as he is. It's unfortunate that that's what it is, but you know that that's how Cowboys conversations evolve.
Yeah, and it's also because of when they chose to pay Dak Prescott as opposed to when they paid some of the other players. Like, choosing to pay Ezekiel Elliott 2 years before you paid Dak Prescott is, I think, going to be proved one of the most costly errors that this Cowboys franchise makes during this window with these players. That's become an absolute albatross around their neck relative to production and everything else that we know about that position. So all that's going to be a part of the Dak conversation. We got plenty of offseason to have that conversation. But coming up next, it is apparently also going to be the start of the offseason for my taste buds. I decided to bank on a team in the Philadelphia Eagles that had no business going out there and hanging with the defending champs. And coming up next, people don't forget, it is time to go ahead and eat some crickets. I don't know a better way to say this. I don't know a better way to preview all of this. So we are going to do that after Chris Canty tells you about a winner in Tom Brady and Man in the Arena.
Yeah, the last caller, Jay from Missouri, said that Tom Brady has the most to gain. I don't know that anything can change about his legacy with another Super Bowl win other than stacking another trophy in his trophy case, because he is going to be viewed as the greatest quarterback of all time. But join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gautam's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career. Things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, Zip Recruiter, Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. More Canty and Golic Jr. back after this.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the Twitter at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. Shoot us your hot takes. We'd love to hear from them. But Gojo, I can't even get it right because I'm so excited about today. It is a Wednesday, a hump day, and that means we are going to do People Don't Forget. But today we have a special edition of People Don't Forget. So without further ado, let's get started.
Hey, Greg, why don't you go f*** your pants again? That was like 8 years ago. People don't forget. Forget.
All right, guys. So I want to take you back to before Super Wild Card Week.
Yes, let's go back.
Chris Canty, purveyor of great takes, intelligent, former NFL star, came on this show and decided to try and dispense some knowledge towards me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Hall of Famer, all-time greatest player in the history of the world, Tom Brady, were getting ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, with Jalen Hurts making his first career start in the postseason as an NFL quarterback. I looked at this and I said, man, I can find all these fancy mumbo-jumbo reasons why I think the Eagles and their rushing attack are going to be able to go out here and keep this game close. How close, you ask? Within 8.5 points, right around where the spread was close in that game. So here was what ensued when this disagreement took place on air and the corner that Chris Canty painted me in.
Gojo, do you want to put some mayonnaise-covered crickets on this one?
Ooh, all right.
I mean, make it interesting.
I'll eat a mayonnaise covered. It's got to be like one of those. I'm not eating a live cricket, but I'll find dead crickets and I'll dip one in mayonnaise on air on this show if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are able to cover against the Philadelphia Eagles. I grew up a Birds fan. We know we got a hella Johns around this show. So, Philly, I need you to have my back on this one big time. God, me and this mayo thing aren't going anywhere. And you know what? Philly didn't have my back. But I also just want to say, Chris, I hope everyone on our hating staff heard that. Because everyone was sitting here during the break trying to say, Mike, it's got to be multiple crickets, when you very clearly heard me agree to one cricket dipped in mayo.
I heard crickets.
Yes!
I heard crickets in the replay.
Excuse me?
I heard crickets. I heard crickets. When I was listening in just now, I heard crickets on that one. It sounded like plural. Yeah, let's get it again, Madlack. I just want to be sure. Okay.
I hate you guys.
Do you want to put some mayonnaise-covered crickets on this one?
Ooh, all right.
I mean, make it interesting.
I'll eat a mayonnaise-covered. It's got to be like one of those. I'm not eating a live cricket, but I'll find dead crickets and I'll dip one in mayonnaise on air on this show if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are able to cover against the Philadelphia Eagles. I grew up a Birds fan. We know we got a hella Johns around this show. So, Philly, I need you to have my back on this one big time. God, me and this mayo thing aren't going anywhere.
All right, so we're going to have a ruling on that one, because I said crickets and you also used the plural term crickets, but then you use the singular as well. So we're going to have a ruling from the guys behind the glass and figure out exactly how we pay off the bet.
All right, Matlack, I'm going to start with you on the board here right now. What did you hear? Did you hear one cricket or multiple crickets?
I heard a buffet of crickets.
Oh, see, this is collusion. Shannon, our fearless leader, our producer who comes in every day here and does what is best for the show and understands that we are... Shannon, for those of you who don't know, is an old school journalist. Like, he abides by the proof of do no harm. Shannon, you as a journalist with your integrity on the line, you listened to that and heard what?
First and foremost, I'd like to say I'm disappointed in you, Mike, for trying to usurp the terms of this agreement. When it was first presented, Chris said crickets, and then you brought on the singular cricket. So I think it was initially proposed as crickets, so it should be crickets.
Hello!
Mike, more than
Hello!
One. Let's go.
Yes! Yes!
You know what? Again, this is sad that this is where you guys want to be. When Jesus comes back home to save us, this is where you want to be, is forcing multiple crickets down. Oh, man. So I just tried to take another one out, because for anyone that missed it, I had to run to damn PetSmart today and buy this. This is Fluker's freeze-dried crickets. I'm giving them free ad space right now in this. There is a giant lizard on the cover of this bottle, and it says, for reptiles, birds, and tropical fish. There is not one mention of people in here. And I have read up on crickets today. They're a good source of protein. This one's gut-loaded with calcium. How dare you guys?
I mean, it's time for us to get to it, though, right? Like, we feel like we're stalling right now. We're not playing the option and trying to feather this thing out.
I'm going to give you guys two. Hold on. I have to make one request. Mom, can you grab me a spoon? I got a studio audience back here. My mom and dad and a bunch of dogs are watching. I realized I didn't have silverware for all this. For anyone watching on ESPN Plus, I literally have a glob of mayo and a couple of freeze-dried crickets on this plate here.
Nice.
Man,
nice.
I promise. Jimmy Pitaro, if you're watching or listening right now, I promise, people like this stuff. We did a bunch of focus groups on it. People are really into all this one. Don't look that up. Just take my word for it. This is my mom. Thank you, Mom. Got a spoon here. All right. So, Gojo,
just real quick, from a scale of 1 to 10, the anxiety level going into this thing, where are you at?
Honestly, I'm pretty cool with all this, Chris.
Okay.
You gotta understand, I once ate a donut that had been lodged in a car tire for over an hour. Like, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this here. Before I was dipping mayo and stuff on air, I lived this life of a full-blown greaseball behind closed doors here. So this is a real what's done in the dark will come to the light situation for me.
Wow, you are a savage, and your stomach is going to hate you after this.
All right, let me try and wrangle.
Here we go.
Up here, all right.
Drum roll, please.
Get a dollar.
Let's go. Can't wait.
Oh man, I dropped the mayo off the spoon here. All right. Oh man, one of the legs popped off this thing. All right, here we go. You guys ready?
Here we go.
Bottoms up. Oh yeah, they're crunchy and they kind of got like a nice little like smoky aftertaste almost.
Hell no.
Oh gosh.
It's always what I figured though. I'm gonna need floss after this because I think there's a leg stuck in my back molar. Honestly, I might put some of those in like a bowl of oatmeal tomorrow.
Oh
just a little,
my gosh.
You know how like you can put you know different things in your grits and stuff like that. Like I might just throw a couple of these over the top. It really like is a nice natural crunch, Chris.
Said no one ever when talking about eating crickets. Nah, yeah. Bro, you can't sell me on that.
You are one pathetic loser.
No, I'm going to say you are one sick guy. I mean, just the fact. Listen, I appreciate it. You're an honorable individual for paying off the bet. You made the bet. You're a man of your word. You did it on air, so you provided entertainment value for our audience. Probably embarrassed your folks in the process because you're eating mayonnaise-covered crickets with silverware. But I digress. You did it. I appreciate you paying off the bet. This is something that people won't forget.
Absolutely. That is why we do it around here at Canty and Golic Jr. each and every Wednesday. Kids, this is also a reminder. Gamble responsibly if and when you choose to do so. Coming up next, we found out a shocking revelation about one of the 32 owners in the NFL that we will present to you next here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Anytime we look back, Chris Canty asked this question during the break, and it's so true. Why the hell does it seem like players look so much older back then?
I'm 31 years old.
I'm 100% with you, and then hearing the stories about how some guys will be smoking squares on their way out to practice.
To let me assure all you smokers out there, there is no shortage of cigarettes.
How do we know that?
Chris, I think it was the mustaches, like the proliferation of mustaches amongst 20 to 30-year-olds in the NFL back then just made them all look somehow older than the guys we got going out now.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Got to give a shout out to all the guests that joined us on the show today. SportsCenter anchor Kevin Negande coming in and giving us the lowdown on Philadelphia sports in general and what he made a Super Wild Card weekend. Also, ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen previewing the divisional round games. And then former Pittsburgh Steeler Ramon Foster, who is now the co-host of J. Martin Ramon on 104.57 The Zone in Nashville. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But Gojo, now is the portion of our show where it's time for us to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is three and out.
All right, fellas, three and out here on Canty and Golic Jr. And ladies, everyone's welcome in this show. What am I talking about here?
Yeah, we're equal opportunists. That's what we do.
We are. And you know what? This show is for everybody, but it is also about the pursuit of strength here. And I was stunned to learn two things today about this NFL owner. The first thing I learned about Jim Irsay was that he got his degree from SMU in broadcast journalism. Didn't know that about the Colts owner. Know it now. The second thing I did not know is that apparently Jim Irsay used to be thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. Jim posted a video of himself on Twitter today back in his day when he was 307 pounds squatting an immense 525 pounds. We're showing it on ESPN Plus right now, but Chris, for anyone that has not seen it, very impressed by the depth that the Colts owner was able to master in that situation.
Oh, no doubt. Jim Irsay Jr. is not a short man, so him having the ability to drop that thing all the way in the bucket and come out of the hole with 525 pounds, that's impressive. Gojo, at no point in my career did I put that amount of weight on my back and decide to squat. No point. Like, for him to do that, knowing how he grew up and knowing that he was in a position where he really didn't have to, that makes it even more impressive, man. Talk about an owner getting after it. I don't know how many NFL owners would be capable of doing something like that, but I can guarantee you not very many of them, if any at all, other than Jim Irsay. So Shout out to him for doing that. And shout out for it being on a Wednesday, because this is People Don't Forget. And just in case some folks forgot about Jim Irsay, he's out here posting a reminder for you.
He got it. He weighed 307 pounds. Chris, does this sound like a made-up event? He said it was the Super Heavyweight Powerlifting Championships. It looks like it was in a high school gymnasium here. He's got the knee wraps on. I hope those were smelling salts that he ripped right before this right now. Either way, we are a fan of big people doing great things on this. Jim Irsay, go ahead and let them know anytime they want to run this back at the owners' meetings, you're ready to put a bar on your back. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's get some good news from the world of the NHL here. Willie O'Ree had his number 22 retired by the Boston Bruins this weekend. The honor came 64 years to the day after he broke the NHL's color barrier back on January 18th, 1958. He said, "To Bruins fans, I am honored to have had the pleasure of playing before you. Thank you for your tremendous love and support. This is an unforgettable day. I am overwhelmed and thrilled to be a part of the Bruins forever."
Yeah, good on the Boston Bruins for doing this. And with a sport like hockey that doesn't necessarily find itself the most inclusive because just the different things that come along with having the opportunity to play hockey with ice time and how expensive the sport is, good on them for recognizing and highlighting Willie O'Ree's contribution to the NHL and to the game overall, because we're all about diversity, inclusion, and opportunities here on Canty and Golic Jr. And I think Willie O'Ree embodies all of those things when you talk about what he did for the game of hockey. So it's something that's exciting to see. It's something that I think was overdue, but nonetheless, the Boston Bruins and the NHL still got it done.
Yeah, exactly, and thankfully get to do that while someone is still living, can still appreciate it, and can take in that moment the way that Willie was able to. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And how about this one here? Cool Runnings fans, stand up. Jamaica has a bobsled team.
And hello.
Chris, not only do they have one bobsled team here, they have got three bobsled teams there. They qualified for the final spot in the 28 sled field for the Beijing Olympics, which starts next Monday for the four-man team. They also qualified for the two-man and two-women bobsled events, making it the first time in history that Jamaica has qualified for all three Olympic bobsled events in a single games here. Pretty cool for them as we get ready to head to Beijing for the Winter Olympics coming up soon.
No doubt about it. So does this mean that we do a Cool Runnings part two? Like, listen, is that on the table?
Everybody loves sequels. Disney Plus is always looking for content. I'm not saying, Chris, but I'm just saying this feels like a match made in heaven.
It is a Disney property, so I feel like that's somewhere where we can facilitate this rendition of the bobsled team's greatness. Like, we can already go ahead and get these rights, sell them off, and make sure that we can make a sequel to that movie, because that's one of those things that people always love, a good sequel to a good film, and it just happens to be based on a true story. So how about that?
Hey, listen, nothing better than getting to go based on a true story and potentially add to the legacy with a sequel here. We've been given a content today. Jimmy Pitaro, again, call us. We've got ideas here on Canty and Golic Jr. But to finish this off, Chris, I have been very, very fortunate in the last couple of years to get to call Major League Eating's crown jewel of an event, the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on Coney Island every year. Apparently, Major League Eating wants to expand their reach because they have announced a new partnership with the USA Mullet Championships. They've announced a new partnership to advance the mullet brand with a series of digital and in-person championships nationwide starting in 2022, adding to existing Major League Eating events. And Chris, I know I don't have a ton of hair, but I feel like you and I could do a lot for the mullet brand being on the call for some of these.
Oh, no doubt about it. If that means we get an opportunity to call those events, if we got to cut our hairs and we got to have mullets, then why not? I'm all about it, man. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's be a part of it. Like, just to have the opportunity to be on such a stage where a spectacle like that is happening, and then combining that with the mullet contest, I mean, Gojo, it just takes it to a complete another level.
Major League Eating, you've got my number. Let's make this happen here. We ate crickets today. We can do mullets. Hang out on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz got you covered next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.